driving the lane. Crosses up Van Hoodle. Okie doke move and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get on a rebound. Kicks it out. Kansas Sykes for three. No, that's good.
She got it.
Kansas Sykes for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
And welcome to another edition of the Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. Joey Dwyer with you, and we have an awesome show coming up. We're going to start it off with ISU men's basketball's J.C. Hillsman. They're coming off a big win against Belmont last night, so we're going to talk to him. Next up, we're going to have ISU soccer and ISU women's basketball. Soccer's getting ready for the Missouri Valley Tournament, and women's basketball starting off their season. After that, we're going to be joined by news and sports guest Jose Sandoval. We're going to be talking a little NBA action with him. He's a big Bulls fan, so that should be fun. And then fourth and finally, we are wrapping up with the best segment in all of sports talk radio, the Pick Six. So don't go anywhere. We've got all this Red Zone action coming up for you in the next hour here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Hey, this is Dickie V, baby, and you're listening to the Red Zone, baby, only on 103.3 WZND.
And you heard him right. It is the Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND. It's just Joey and Scott with you for another week. Hector had to take care of some business, so we hope you're doing well, buddy. But we will make you proud in your absence. And Scott, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling pretty good. I know I'm coming off being a little sick. But
it's going around.
It's going around. And the thing is about the station is once one person gets sick, like everybody gets sick. So it kind of went through me, and then now I'm feeling a little better, but we're getting through it.
Yeah, we've got the big jug of hand sanitizer in the studio here somewhere, so we're trying to keep it clean. And let's just jump right into the show. In studio with us right now is J.C. Hillsman. J.C., thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
And right off the bat, you got to tell me, how are your legs feeling? Because you guys played one unbelievable game. I know a lot of people, the listeners out there that watched it, you guys beat a very powerful team in Belmont. So what was kind of your day today after, you know, a big win like that?
Well, first, you know, I had to start off with study hall, and that started at 8 a.m., so that was early, but you know, it was a good start to my day. Then I had class, so still some time on my feet, but then I got some good time in between to go and get some recovery in, you know, take ice baths, you know, different stuff like that. They have a lot of stuff set up for us so that we can recover. But, yeah, my legs were definitely hurting.
And that was a very promising start to the season. I know everybody's really excited.
Definitely.
And we'll get more into that in a little bit. But first we want to talk about kind of your journey to get to ISU, because it's a long one.
For sure. With
a lot of stops along the way. So you're originally from Champaign.
Yes, sir.
But then you transferred to go to Simeon High School in Chicago, play basketball there, a school with maybe the deepest basketball lineage in the country. So many products of Simeon have gone on and played in the NBA. So how did playing there kind of shape who you were as a basketball player and set you up for success?
It definitely had a big impact on who I became as a basketball player, just the approach I took towards basketball and everything. Coming out of Champaign, like, I was one of the better players in the area. In my head, I was the best player in the area. So, like, I got to a point where, you know, I just wasn't listening as much to my, you know, parents and people in my circle. So it was definitely time for a change, and Simeon was that change that I needed. I got to see guys, you know, like Jabari Parker and Kendrick Nunn, Kendall Pollard, guys like that who are professionals now, and how they worked, how they came in every day, you know, got in extra work and stuff like that. And I got to see, like, you know, guys are better than me. Like, that was the first time I realized that, like, you know, guys are truly better than me. So it inspired me to work harder. And just seeing them on the day-to-day, like how they went about things, it inspired me. So
you think it definitely humbled you too?
Oh, for sure, for sure. I was definitely humbled by that whole experience. Like, when I first got to Simeon, I was not athletic at all. Like, I couldn't even dunk till the end of my sophomore year.
Really?
And I was 6'4". So, like, once I got to Simeon, they, like, changed that whole mindset. Yeah. They say, hey, we dunk everything here. And from then on, like, my athleticism kind of took off, so.
What would you say, like, your most memorable moment was in high school at Simeon?
My most memorable moment at Simeon, probably winning state.
Okay.
Yeah, being part of a state championship team, that's always special, you know, so.
And you had, on that state run, you had in the semifinal game, you had the shot that sent it to OT, right?
No, that was actually in the Pontiac tournament.
The Pontiac tournament. Okay. I was reading a little about that beforehand.
That was definitely a pretty good moment, too. I'll always remember that for sure, just because, like, that was a big moment for us. You know, it sent us to the championship game. We played Curie in a highly touted, highly anticipated game, so it was definitely just a fun time.
And then moving on from Simeon, you took a year of prep school. Then you went to San Jose State.
For sure.
All the way out on the West Coast. Yeah. What factored in your decision to go all the way out there?
That is an interesting question. And I honestly, looking back, I don't know. It just seemed like the right fit at the right time. It seemed like, you know, it was a place that I could go in as a freshman, start and play. You know, I got a very good opportunity as a freshman to go and start and play, which most freshmen can't do and don't do. So that was just big for me, you know, because I kind of got thrown into the fire. But my decision leading up to it, it all had to do with my relationships with coaches and the direction I kind of felt that teams were going in. So, like, I mean, my final five schools, you know, I always tell people this, and they always look at me like, why'd you end up going to San Jose? But, like, it was between Texas Tech, Florida State, Boston College, DePaul, and San Jose.
Wow.
And everybody was always like, why'd you go to San Jose? It just felt like the right fit, and, like, I prayed about it, and I take my faith pretty seriously, so I prayed about it, and it just felt like the right thing for me to do at the right time, and I feel like I learned from San Jose, so...
See, and I feel like with every athlete or with everybody, when you kind of have that feeling, that gut feeling that you have to do this, you just kind of got to go with it.
Yeah.
And I feel, obviously everything happens for a reason. It took you there, and now it took you to Illinois State.
For sure.
But how was, like, your transition from high school to college like that? I mean, you said that was, like, the place to go, and obviously it didn't 100% work out because you did move on. You wanted to go somewhere else. So, but, like, how did you, like, grow as a person kind of going there and playing?
I grew immensely, like, to look at the kid that I was at 19 till now, like, that's just, it's just crazy, like, the difference that, you know, college can make. And my I would say that my transition in college was more so, I don't know, it was difficult, but it wasn't as difficult for me because I had already been away from home, being in Chicago. So I lived with my stepdad in Chicago, and I was already away from my mom, so I had, like, already had kind of gotten a feeling of what it's like to be away from home. And, you know, being, 3,000 miles away in California just didn't really seem that different to me, especially with my parents being able to visit so often. They came out probably once every 2 months, so that was good for me. But, yeah, I would say my adjustment was pretty much just mental, just knowing that, like, I have to kind of do everything now. Like, I can't rely on my parents or an outside source to do this thing for me. Like, I'm the one that has to be at class, I'm the one that has to be at study, I'm the one that has to bust my butt in practice and weights and film. And so it was just like, I mean, it was just eye-opening to see the responsibilities that Division I basketball brings, so.
And did the proximity to family play a big role when you were deciding that you wanted to pursue other options other than San Jose, when you were looking at other schools? Being so close to Champaign here in Bloomington Normal, was that a big factor in wanting to come here to ISU?
Definitely. It definitely held a significant amount of weight in my decision. Coming back home, it just seemed like again, it seemed like the right thing to do. You know, it was the right time. It was the right fit. It's perfect for me. You know, I have a group of guys around me that want to win just as bad as I do. They're doing the little things to make sure that we win. So, I mean, I'm pretty happy with my decision overall. My brothers and my parents get to come see me, close family, friends, like, all those things are especially important to me, especially for senior year.
And so you're in your senior year now. You're finally getting some playing time after you had a sit last year.
Yeah.
How has – but you were still in practices last year. How has the – dynamic different? Because we talked to Coach a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about how there's been this whole leadership change, and he feels like the team is more of a cohesive unit. Do you feel that as well? Kind of everybody stepping up a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. We have a really, really good unit. And I'm proud to say, like, I'm part of this family that we've created. And I'm not going to say it's been easy. It's definitely been hard. We had our bumps in the road, you know, in spring when we were kind of figuring things out, you know. When you lose guys like Phil and Malik and Keyshawn, it takes a toll on your team. However, we knew what expectations Coach had of us. He brought us in the spring. He explained what he expected of us. And from then on, like, I guess we kind of set us a level of expectation around our team. When I say we, I mean like the older guys like Ricky, Zach, Keith, Matt Chastain, like guys like that. We just set like a different level of intensity in practice. There's a different level of talk, different level of focus, I feel like, off the court even, with just like how we go about things and how we treat the way we like just prepare for games. So,
and kind of going off that, how, I know unfortunately you didn't get to play last year because you were, you know, you're on the bench because of the whole transfer thing, but kind of watching what happened at Arch Madness, how does that leave like a sour taste in your mouth? I mean, you see how
yes.
early you guys were bouncing
yes.
out.
especially since I was right there, I got to hear like all the stuff that was said in the stands. I got to hear like how people like felt and like why they felt the way they did, like, you know, just to just put it out, like, people just didn't appreciate how hard the team played last year, and I kind of, like, vowed to myself that, like, they would never be able to say that I wasn't one that was playing hard, and when one person believes that, you know, then it kind of bleeds over into the next person, and then the next person was like, well, I can't be that guy that's not out there playing hard for my brother, so, and then it's kind of just bled into everybody on the team, and now we all take pride in that.
And I can only assume that makes you even more hungry for
yeah.
this year. I mean, I know it's you guys had one game.
For sure.
But I know that's got to be something on your mind, like, throughout the whole season that you guys are preparing for that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's heavily on our minds.
And looking ahead at the rest of the season, before we get into conference play, you guys have some big-name schools coming up. What is the mental approach of the whole team, or and you specifically, just to prepare to go in and maybe put Illinois State on the map a little bit as far as the basketball world goes, because now you've shown that you can really hang with these schools and even beat them.
I feel like, you know, our big thing as a team this year is just to continue to chop wood. And by chopping wood, we mean just understanding, like, the process of what it takes to be a great team. And that's just, you know, taking care of our jobs. And our job is to come in every day, come to work. Don't come in just to punch the clock. You got to come in ready to work, ready to do all the little things and pay attention to all the little details that goes into winning. Like, it's easy to say that we want to win these amount of games. It's easy to say, oh, we're going to do this. But it's not easy to come in every day and bust your tail. It's not easy to come in and be coachable every day. It's not easy to see what you're doing wrong on film and then adjust what you're doing. So,
and kind of gearing things a little bit more on a personal level, what are some things for the listeners out there that want to know a little bit more about you personally? What's like your pregame playlist? Like, what's your go-to songs before a game, whether it's just you personally or like you guys in the locker room? Like, what are you listening to?
I'll say we switch it up a little bit, but me personally, I probably listen to a little Travis Scott, probably some D Herbo. Might switch it up sometimes, go some dance music just to get a little pump, like
get loose.
Yeah, get a little more loose, you know, just thinking about some different things. But yeah, I would say I'll pretty much switch it up between those three before games, but probably during the day I listen to more calm music like jazz and stuff like that, so I can like relax because I'm hyped up and I gotta kind of get myself to that optimal playing level.
Okay, and let's say you're going on a road trip now. What are some like three major things that you can't leave your apartment?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah. Well, first you gotta go your toothbrush because you know can't smell your breath.
Can't have smelly breath.
That's true. That's true.
Xbox for sure for me.
There it is.
And then
a big Fortnite player.
Oh no, I
get
do.
A little 2K bust now.
Yeah, no, I definitely play 2K.
There it is. There it is.
Fortnite. We broke up about 6 months ago. So, but yeah, I would say toothbrush, Xbox, and I don't know what the third thing is. That's difficult. I would just say
probably some snacks, right?
That'll work. Yeah,
there you go.
Some snacks. That's a great idea.
Well, you're gonna have to remember to take those when you guys go to Paradise Jam. But you're not quite there yet. You still have two more home games. The Illinois State basketball team is gonna take on Little Rock this Sunday. That's gonna be at Redbird Arena. So make sure you go out to that. The Sunday after that is University of Central Florida. JC, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
We are gonna take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We have another 40 minutes of the Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
This is Illinois State men's basketball point guard Parrish Lee, and you're listening to 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
And we are back with the Red Zone. Joey Dwyer, Scott Rosala with you now. We just had J.C. Hillsman on the show. He's excited for some men's basketball this year. We are also very excited for some men's basketball. But we are also excited for some women's basketball as they picked up their first win as well. And Scott, this is another team. We've got two basketball teams at this university that are pretty legit.
And Joey, I think for anyone out there, college basketball, whether it's men's or women's, is so exciting. Like, I think it's the most exciting college sport, and it's the most exciting time of the year. But you're right. We have two very good teams. We just talked to JC. Now we're kind of gearing it towards the women here. And a name that stands out to me right away is TT Madgett. TT Madgett had 21 points in her first game. And I get it was an exhibition. Well, no, the exhibition, she had 21. Or no, she 18, 21 in her first game of the season, excuse me. And, I mean, that's just something you need out of your senior leader like that.
And she bursted onto the scene last year in the Missouri Valley. And she was unbelievable. And I went, me and Anthony Ferretti, we called the Hoops in the Heartland, and in the tournament she showed out in a big way, and so they are building this team around her, and they look good. Truman State, they took on Tuesday, beat them 87-60. That is a routing. And so now coming up, they've got a couple big tests. They're traveling up to Marquette. They're going to be in Milwaukee this Sunday, and then next Saturday they're going down to Champaign for a little Illinois State rivalry action. So a couple huge games for them, but these are going to be real tests to see how legit this team actually is.
And that's the thing. And the difference between the men's team and the women's team this year is the women's team actually have some pretty big names on their schedule. I mean, you brought it up in the likes of U of I and Marquette. Those are two very big women's basketball schools. And if we start the season off undefeated, if you can come out early when the teams really don't have that much chemistry yet, and you can get a big win over Marquette, a big win over Illinois, that's only going to help your rating when you're trying to get in, maybe with an at-large. Because we all know, being a mid-major school, they don't really care about the mid-majors.
There's not a whole lot of respect to go around when you're a big University of Illinois looking down on Illinois State, you know?
No, there's really not. And that's the thing. When you kind of look at that and you see it is going to help you if you get these big wins in the API ranking, and that's just something you're going to need to do. So if they can come out and they can play just like they did last game and take on these two teams, I think they're going to be very powerful, and I think, you know, they can set up the season very well.
And it'll be great preparation as well for when they finally do get into Missouri Valley Conference play, because we saw out of the women's team last year, they struggled out of the gate in conference play just a little bit. They did get their feet under them, had a very good showing. But these are going to be two huge games for them, and they're going to have to ride on the back of TT Madgett, because she is who this team runs through. They also have some other good players, though. Mary Crompton has been showing out this year. Kale Newland was a nice surprise, at least for me. I remember seeing her last year, but she's definitely taken a step forward. They still have Lexi Wallen, former ISU volleyball player, now ISU basketball player. She truly does it all. But this team, even though they lost a couple very, very good seniors.
You're forgetting a name. You're forgetting a big junior. Paige Saylor.
Oh, geez.
And that's the thing. They're so deep.
They're so deep, regardless of the fact that they lost a lot of good senior talent last year. And so if I'm another Missouri Valley team, I'm looking at ISU. I'm shaking in my boots a little bit because it's so early in the season. They already look so cohesive. And I think if they keep this up, it's going to be a very, very good season for the Birds.
You know, Joey, the one thing that does scare me a little bit, although they did come out, they won the game by, I think it was 27. Yeah, it was 27 points. They shot 35 for 73 from the field goal. And I know in women's basketball, the percentage is a little different than the men's, but it is a little scary. I think that's something that, even though you get a win, I think that's something that you're going to want to look at practice and kind of figure out before you do start playing some of these big-name schools.
And that's very, very true. And they will be playing those big-name schools, like we mentioned. They've got Marquette coming up. That's going to be on Sunday. They're heading up to Milwaukee. And we're going to transition a little bit, talk about another ISU team that has been very, very good. Our ISU women's soccer team, they are getting set to go down to Springfield, Missouri. Tomorrow, they're playing in the Missouri Valley Conference semifinal. And, Scott, we've been talking about them all semester. This team is incredible.
Oh, how can you not talk about them? 13-5. They went on a 9-game winning streak. I think this is one of the best Illinois women's soccer teams that we've had in many, many years. And that's something that you like to see, especially because we have so many players coming back. Obviously, you have a senior in Kate Delfava who has had an unbelievable season. I think anybody listening, anybody tuning in to Redbird Soccer could see that. So we're going to lose her this year. But just having players like that, having a goalie like Haley Smith, who has been a brick wall in that net, that is something that is so key to this team. And I think it's a very key reason to their success this year, Joey.
Haley Smith, you mentioned her. She posted, they won against Drake last weekend. And she has put up now 11 clean sheets, which is incredible.
And it's a school record.
And it is a school record, and she's been doing incredibly. Kate Delfava ranks 10th among all NCAA women's soccer players. Across the entire country, she is 10th in goals. So this team has some very, very good star power. They're also pretty deep, and I don't see any way Missouri State stands a chance here. And Loyola, who's the only team that beat them, they're the first seed, and they're playing Drake. So we're anticipating for next weekend to be a Loyola Illinois State final, and that will be a test for the Birds, because Loyola has that explosive offense. But I think if they can strengthen up on the back end, they've got a chance to take this whole thing.
And we were talking about it earlier today before we came on the show. It's saying on the schedule that it's versus Missouri State. So are you sure it's not here? Because you said it was in Missouri, and we were kind of talking about that.
Because
I know Missouri is the 3 seed. We are the 2 seed. So technically,
I was reading the game sheet today. I was confused about that too. But it looks like the game is telling me it's in Springfield, Missouri. So yeah,
and you know what? I think it might be a weather thing, because the thing is, it's so cold here. Missouri, it's a little warmer.
That's true.
So I don't know if I like it, but
and that's a big thing, because here at ISU, almost all the athletes we talk to, they talk about how good our fan section is and how much they feed off of that. So that could be a deciding factor. Although the Birds went down to Springfield a couple weeks ago, October 25th, and they took care of the Bears no problem.
They did.
So I'm not seeing too much competition there, although I can't overlook an opponent. But they are looking very, very good this far into the season.
And the thing is, with soccer, is you have all these weather conditions. I mean, it's a fall sport. And so you kind of look at all that. It's kind of like football. And, you know, obviously you want to play in the warmth. It's probably a little better. It's obviously better on your joints and stuff like that. But I think the real key here is that we are going to be playing on the road. So we are 13-5. We've had a very successful season. But that is something that's going to be kind of something you want to look
at. I did just receive word that the semifinals and the finals for the NCAA, or the Missouri Valley Conference Women's Soccer Tournament, it is a Final Four type situation, so all the games are played in the same place. It just so happens to be in Springfield. So thank you for the listener that sent me that. So it's more of a neutral site, still home field, for Missouri State, my apologies, but it's a little more of a neutral site there, and hopefully the Birds will have to go back down there next weekend as well.
Well, of course, and I think they will. I think this is a team that knows what we have. A lot of seniors on the team, a lot of juniors, a lot of competitive athletes on this team, and I think they're ready. They're motivated. They have been ready all season long, and this is it. I mean, this could be, if they lose this game, this could be their last game in a Redbird uniform, and I think, I mean, it goes both ways for Missouri State as well, but that's one big thing that's going to be on their mind, and you know they're going to be giving it everything. It's playoff sports, man, and that's the biggest thing.
And playoff sports, it is number 3 Missouri State taking on your second-ranked Illinois State Redbirds. That game is Friday, November 8th. Tomorrow, 3 p.m., we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Jose Sandoval give you some news, and then we're going to get into some NBA talk. You're listening to 103.3 WZND, the Pulse of Redbird Nation. And Jose, I am having a great night because you are in the studio with us. We've been waiting all semester to get you on the show. So excited your time finally rolled around. And we're going to be talking a little NBA action. And it's basketball season started a week or so ago, and it's been there's been some big headlines. So what do you want to touch on first?
You know what? I think we should probably touch on a couple of the games that went on last night. So, like, the Chicago Bulls, overcame their struggles, Finally, at some point, last night they said they weren't scared of the fourth quarter anymore. And, they beat the Atlanta Hawks last night. And I know you're a Pacers fan, so, your Pacers won
big
last
dub,
night, too,
big dub.
Against the Washington Wizards, So it's been, a pretty eventful, for our local area sports,
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, what's up?
Is Coby White legit? Because Coby White
Kobe
seems
White.
Like he's going to be legit.
Here's the thing. Here's a fun story about me and Coby White. One of my best friends of all time, we were like from kindergarten. She is at the University of North Carolina, and I went and visited last semester.
That's right, I remember that.
Yeah, and so I went down to UNC, and we're walking. They've got this place called The Pit, and it's kind of like their center of campus-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm walking through, and Coby White is unmistakable because of his hair. His hair distinguishes him from every other person on the planet.
Yeah.
He's rocking the headband. And so I'm walking, and I'm like, is that Coby White? And she's like, yeah, I see him all the time. And I'm like, how wild is it to see
Coby White walking around.
You're like, oh, man, I'm on my way to, like, my econ class, and there's a future first-round NBA draft pick just, like,
thing,
walking the other way.
People that have class with him, too.
I know. It's got to be nuts.
There and Coby White's just chilling.
But to get back to your question, yes, I think Coby White is legit. And the fact that he doesn't start consistently is...
But he's young. And he's got a lot. I get it. But he's got a lot of work he's got to do, and I don't think they want to push him too fast. And with this Bulls team, they have so much they need to work on. They have so many tools they still need to incorporate here. Listen, I know you guys all are big on marketing. I don't think he is a go-to guy.
So an interesting because I was watching the game last night, and an interesting thing was said. Ever since the first game of the season, Laurie has averaged 14 points since that game, since his opening game. It raises the question, instead of is Coby White legit, is Lauri Markkanen legit, and will he ever live up to that expectation?
But the thing is he legit, or is he a great piece guy? Like, you put Markkanen on a team with, like, LeBron and Anthony Davis and stuff like that, he's going to look unbelievable because he's, like, a centerpiece to those guys. I don't see him being, like, a LeBron James or a Chris Paul, like, one of those high-name caliber players. I don't see him as that. I know a lot of people would disagree with me. But I don't know. That's just my personal opinion. Him and Levine.
I don't think Levine's that good either. I'm kind of on the fence. I mean, I don't follow the Bulls as closely as you guys. So, I don't get the every game.
Yeah.
But from what I see from an outsider's perspective, it's kind of he looks like a guy who's ready to take the next step. But I don't know if he will. He's kind of like on the fence. Like, he's a good player, obviously.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, he
yeah.
definitely should be starting in the NBA, but I don't know if he's a guy that you can build your franchise around,
And I mean, it also adds to the fact that Jim Boylan didn't play him in the fourth quarter for like two or three games, and he went with Thaddeus Young instead. So I don't know if that really adds up.
Young, though, that's a
hey, he came from the Pacers, But I mean, it really adds to the fact, like, can he really live up his expectations, or is there just too many pieces, young pieces on that team that he can't grow?
We got a text. Me and Scott got a text from a former WZND sports director, Andy Olson. He says, hashtag fire Boylan. So that's where some of the opinions are sitting there. But moving elsewhere in the East, a team that has really caught my eye this year is the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat they're one of those teams where it's like I expected nothing out of them, but they look pretty decent. They're 5-2 right now.
Yeah, but it's so early. It's so early. And I get that. They're 5-2. They look good.
But they beat the Bucks. They beat the Bucks at home.
Again, it's early, though.
I mean, they did beat the Rockets the other night, and within just that first quarter alone, they were outscoring them 42 to like 14 in that first quarter alone, And I mean, just like when we had JC on here, he is a teammate of a current Miami Heat, Kendrick Nunn,
yeah.
who is remarkably having a great year for an undrafted rookie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He looks incredible. Jimmy Butler, obviously, is a great player. They've got a couple other guys. One of my favorite players, NBA players of all time, Udonis Haslam. dude is so old.
dude is so old. Hey, Dwayne Wade retired before he did. So.
Bro, he's 39 years old and he's still in the league. Tyler Hero's 19. There's a 20-year difference between those two. But Tyler Hero, also very, very good. And this is one of those teams where it's like they feel like they could be a surprise, and especially in how weak the East is.
Yeah, weak?
I
mean, if you're comparing it in terms of the West.
Well, okay, if you're comparing it in terms of the West, yes. But the East is not bad. I mean, you have the Celtics. You have the 76ers. I mean, the Raptors, they're...
Are the Celtics for real, though?
You know, the Celtics are currently number one in the East right now.
Yeah, they're 5-1?
They're 5-1 right now.
I think they have an upgrade. With losing Kyrie, I think Kyrie was a horrible locker room guy.
I agree with you on that.
And I think Kemba Walker is an all-time locker room guy.
And I think Kemba Walker is unbelievable, but he was always been on a bad team.
And now you
put him on a good team with some guys around him that can help him and help him to even improve and get even better. I think Kemba Walker is going to have a very good season.
And okay. You've sold me on the Celtics. The Celtics are decent. Looking at the West, though, we were talking about how stacked the West is.
Oh, definitely.
You can't even name a bad team.
I know. Jose, who do you see coming out number one? Because there are so many teams that are vying for the spot. I want to know, as the biggest basketball guy in the room right now, I want to know who you got coming out number one.
You know, in my opinion, I totally believe that the Clippers are going to come out with the number one seed. Right now, they are 5-3, but if we also look at it, they are playing games, you know, with Kawhi, who's like management load, who sits out, and then you also have Paul George, who is still out, and he hasn't been back yet.
I guess that kind of answers my question, too. I was going to bring up the Laker-Clipper kind of rivalry going on. Because they got some good basketball going out there.
There's going to be some business in the Staples Center.
So let me ask you guys this. You know, when LeBron and AD try to shrug it off and say it's not a rivalry. But
oh, it is.
Is it a rivalry?
100% it is.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they play in the same stadium.
Yeah, and there's been so many years now where the Clippers have been kind of like – it's like little brother syndrome, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They've been the laughing stock, especially because the Lakers are like one of the most storied franchises in American sports history. So the fact that the Clippers finally are like at the point where they're knocking on the door, and the Lakers are 6-1 right now, but I don't think they're that good. Like I would I'm not saying like that good in terms of like they're still a very good team, but they're not
6-1. They have two of the best players in the NBA on their team.
I mean, so do you think
they're not good?
LeBron James is the best player to ever play the game of basketball.
We're not getting into that.
We're not going to get into that.
He's the best player to ever play the game of basketball. He's on the Lakers.
Okay, LeBron. I'll tell you what. LeBron James is the best basketball player to ever play the game, not named Michael Jordan.
No.
You know what? I think he's the greatest athlete.
Michael Jordan, what was he doing in the offseason? Gambling? Drinking? Smoking?
We're talking about like off the court stuff. There's no comparison to LeBron. I mean, he started a school, the I Promise School, and he's still continuing to help and give back to Akron, Ohio. So if we're talking about off the court issues.
I'm talking about on the court. This
debate has been beaten so many times. We do not need to have it right now.
Let me say one thing about the debate. This is about the NBA.
Okay, hit me.
Can we all agree that at least the NBA is fun to watch?
Yes,
there are no dominant teams.
The parity is back, and that's like the most important thing in any sports league. Because, you know, when the Warriors are going out and winning everything, it's like, okay, I mean, it's kind of cool, but, like, there was no feeling. Like, everybody, if you weren't a Golden State Warriors fan, everybody in the country was so invested on watching the Toronto Raptors win that series. And I think that was such a big turning point in the NBA.
But I feel like there wasn't a lot of credit there, and I feel like it wasn't 100% earned. And the reason I say that is they had no KD. They lost Klay Thompson.
But injuries are part of sports.
But the Raptors did not beat the Warriors. They did not. They did not beat a full, healthy Warriors
but
team.
But the thing is that injuries are a part of sports. And
injuries
like,
are
you
definitely
can't,
a part
you can't
of sports.
Say that, like, you can't say that they didn't beat them because they did. They were just hurt. And that
They beat a broken team. They beat the Warriors. It just wasn't the full Warriors.
I mean, it's kind of karma. I mean, if you look at what happened to them and how they're doing this season, it's essentially karma for what they did have done to the league for the past 3, 4, 5 years.
Oh, yeah. And they all jump ship. That's one thing. I mean, that's another argument for another day is the fact that these players can just go wherever they want. And I feel like there really isn't a contract. There's really no set contract in the NBA because they can literally just uphold it and leave it and go wherever they want. And teams, they're just bouncing around teams all the time. And I feel like
it's a players' league now.
It is. It's a players' league, and I don't know if I like that.
And that's where a lot of this parity has kind of it's really at the mercy of what guys want to do in terms of like a guaranteed championship, or do they want to play somewhere that they love or where they really feel passionate about it? Because like if you're a top 15 player in the NBA, you basically choose what team you're on, right?
Yeah.
Like
without a doubt.
And so we really are in an age now where it's for smaller market teams, it's becoming very, very difficult to put anything together. And you look at, like, for example, you look at like the Phoenix Suns, who are putting up a pretty respectable season this year. They're like fourth in the West right now. And
they arguably could be the biggest surprise of the season so far.
But they have worked so hard to try to get anybody to come. Like most of the guys they have are through drafts. Okay. Like DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker, both like young guys who they brought in before they were established. So that's just one example of a smaller market team that hasn't been able to lure in these bigger names because of how much control the players have.
I mean, we can even go back a couple years back when the Lakers were about to acquire Chris Paul, you know, where they, you know, the NBA kind of just changed, you know, they've been trying to change for the next couple years, you know, how they can get and lure more small market teams to lure these big time players.
But that's the thing though. I mean, if you're a big time player like that, are you going to want to play in Oklahoma City, or are you going to go play in New York or Los Angeles?
And that's why the NBA wants to incentivize going to smaller market teams.
But is that unfair to the player?
I don't think it's unfair to the player just because you're getting like more money, and that's why you can have the max that's more with the team that you're with.
But how are they gonna afford more money and to pay these players more if they're in a market where they're not really making that much money because there's not as many fans and there's not as big as a fan base out there?
Because you can when you're getting maxed by the team that you're with. So say like the Pacers are a smaller market team.
Yeah.
Let's say we're trying to hit Oladipo with the max. He's going to get more money if he stays with the Pacers than if he goes anywhere else, because that's the max contract. And the fact is that if you are an NBA franchise, you have money. Like that's not the issue. Obviously, like the Lakers are going to have more than the Kings or whatever, but you're still going to be making that money. And that's why the NBA and the players union put in that max contract, because it still makes sure that the players are getting paid, but it incentivizes staying loyal to your team, which encourages more parity in the league.
And we're talking about teams, but I kind of want to change it up a little bit here because I want your guys' opinions really quick.
Yeah.
If you had to name the best player in the NBA as of today.
Okay.
I'll ask you two questions. I'll ask you that question, and we'll say, who would you build a franchise with? So the first question is, who's the best player up to date?
Right now, in the league.
Healthy. Joe, do you want to take this one
that's,
first?
That's I see how you pawned that off on me, because Jose and I are both like staring at the ceiling trying to think of.
I mean, I can
honestly, Scott, I feel like I know what you're going to say.
I can start.
Scott's going to be like 37-year-old LeBron James.
37-year-old LeBron James.
Is that actually your answer?
The best player in the NBA.
You're saying that? Okay. 100%. Okay, here's what I'm going to say. LeBron James, very good over his career, but right now in the league, it's Giannis.
Joey, how old's Tom Brady? Tom Brady's 40, best quarterback in the league.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to have to disagree with the both of you on that one.
Okay.
Kawhi Leonard is currently the best player in the NBA.
And obviously, we all like different styles of basketball, because those are all three very good styles.
Some of us like good basketball players, and some of us like the mediocre.
But to defend Giannis really quick, the Bucks are a powerhouse, if not the powerhouse in the East this year. And literally the whole offense runs through Giannis. It's Giannis driving. If there are two guys on him or less, he's going to dunk it.
And just not when LeBron's in the league.
I kind of have to back up Scott on that one. I mean, right now, if you see it, you know, all he really needs is a 3-point shot to his game. And that is something that he still doesn't have.
He doesn't need a 3-point shot because he's not
contested. Once he gets that 3-point shot.
Okay, once he gets that shot, he'll be lethal. But he has, the thing is, he has like a lot of very good 3-point shooters around him that kind of balance that out. Like Eric Bledsoe, a really good 3-point shooter. And he's got other guys around him as well.
Kyle Korver, if I'm not mistaken.
Kyle Korver.
He's also on that
and
team.
Kyle Korver, one of the best 3-point shooters. One of the most underrated players in NBA history.
And one of the greatest 3-point shooters of all time.
He is Kyle Korver.
An underrated player in the league? No, he is not. He is exactly where he needs to be. Kyle Korver. he's been on teams with guys like LeBron that have carried him. He is not underrated. He's exactly where he needs to be in the league.
But regardless, Giannis has that 3-point talent around him, and he is such a unstoppable force on both sides of the ball. That's where I look at it, because like, and it's the same with Kawhi. I would put Kawhi over LeBron right now, because LeBron plays defense when he wants to.
Oh,
but
am I gonna have to pull up some highlights on this?
His defense isn't. I'll pull up some highlights of LeBron standing still on defense. Scott.
Well, I mean, at this point in his career, like he does play defense, but he picks and chooses.
100%. But the Lakers were bad last year. Why would he? He's 36. He's thinking about it. He's like, you know what? He's not 37.
I mean,
actually,
you know what? The Lakers
35. Yeah, well,
like
you said, you're getting the whole age gap thing. He's 35.
Give the man some credit. If you look at it last season too, the Lakers were fourth.
37.
They were fourth.
He's only 34.
He's only 34.
Like, come on,
dude. He's been in the league for the 17th season.
Yeah,
hey, how crazy
if
is
he's
that?
If he's having a Udonis Haslam esque career, he's got five more years at least.
Hold on. All right, now let's. My second question here. We went off on that one. Who are you building? I already know what Joey's gonna say because he's been having the talk. But who are you building a franchise with?
Jose, you're starting this one, baby.
Oh my goodness. Right now.
Do you start off with like Zion? Like, do you get one of the guys from the draft or do you pick someone that's already in the league?
I think you pick someone that's already in the league, to be quite honest with you. You know, now no knockoff to Zion, you know, but
he's not proven
yet. He's not proven yet because he hasn't played yet. He's played preseason games, but
I mean, look at Lonzo Ball. I mean, he's actually having a pretty decent season. He found his shot, it looks like, this season.
That's true.
He had a couple pretty weak
seasons.
All right,
so, Jose, who are you building that franchise around?
I'm going to have to say Anthony Davis on this one.
AD.
Okay, what is he, 25?
He's a younger guy. Scotty, who's yours? If you say LeBron James, so help me God. So help me God.
Oh, man. How old is Kyrie? Is he like 27, 26?
Kyrie,
like 26. No, maybe he's a little too old. I'm trying. You know what? I think Giannis. I think because.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna agree with you here because he is a specimen. I think he's a special talent.
He's
unreal. And he's still very young. But if he develops that shot, he will be very lethal. And that's a guy that I think comes out and kind of dominates. That's my franchise guy.
And Kyrie is 27.
He's a little older.
Scott, I would absolutely agree with you. I could sing praises to Giannis all day. I wish every day that because if you ever think about how much energy the Bucks put into developing him,
the Bucks are so cool. They're such a cool team.
They picked him. They like plucked him from Greece when he was like he was literally like 6. He was like 6'11", like 140 pounds. Like Buddy was smaller than a stick. But he, like, they developed him, they worked him hard, and now he's at this point where he's huge, he's dunking on guys like nobody's business, and he is such a fun player to watch in the league.
And that's the one cool thing about the NBA is there is so much, because there's so little guys in the league, there's only, what, like 12, 13 guys on a roster? Mm-hmm. Maybe 15.
Maybe max. 15, but yeah.
But going off that is I feel like there's really not many basketball players. Like, there's so many basketball players in the world, right? And that's why when there's only 15 on a team, there's really not that many. That's why it's so good, so much parity. And I feel like that's why it's so exciting to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously, the one thing is they do stack their team. So when you have, like, three guys that are at the caliber of LeBron, or, like, you look at the Warriors.
Or, like, the Warriors, yeah.
Like, it's it, that's what kind of gets on my nerves a little bit, because it ruins it a little bit. But, you know, this year, it's a good year. It's going to be an exciting year, and I'm really excited to watch.
And it's very spread out this year, so, you know, it's going to be exciting. So based off of how spread out it is this year, can I ask you guys, so what are your predictions? Who's coming out of the East? Who's coming out of the West?
Lakers out of the West, hands down. Celtics out of the East.
All right. For me, I'm going to go out of the West. I'm going to say it's going to be the Clippers. Just dig under Scott's skin a little bit. And then
you never do that.
and then out of the East, I'm going with the Heat. I very underdog
the
pick.
Heat?
Wow.
But I just like wow. I think the East is
Scott and I are looking at each other right now.
I just think the East is really up for grabs, and I like the things they're doing down in Miami.
Joey's like, they played 7 out of 82 games, love them.
I'm betting the farm on them right now. All right. We unfortunately have to take a quick break, but do not go anywhere. We're going to wrap up the show when we come back with the greatest segment in sports talk radio, the Pick Six. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
This is Barstool Big Cat, and you're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
And it is our favorite time of the show here at the Red Zone. It's time for the Pick Six. To go over the standings a little bit, we had a bit of a shakeup. Coming into the last week, even more of a shakeup this week as well. Starting at the bottom, Jose, you're repping for losers out here. The guest, always at the bottom. But you're not that far off, because Hector is only 2 games up from the guest right now. Tough look for our boy Hector.
Yeah.
Scotty, who was on top. Okay. Scotty was on top.
I'm glad now we say my name. We never say my name any week. Now Scott's name comes.
Scotty was on top of Mount Olympus last week at a 500 record. Buddy went 1-5, so now he's chilling 2 games under with me. And Steve Cease is a little above and beyond. He's number 1 right now. So we're just going to get it rolling. Our first game to pick, it's going to be Chargers-Raiders. Scott, who you got?
You know what? I'm going to have to go with the Chargers here. You know what? I'm changing that. I'm changing that mid-show.
Wow.
I'm going Raiders. Oh, man. They're 4-4. I love John Gruden. I love the way he's got his team going. Philip Rivers stinks. Hey. The Chargers stink. We're going with the Raiders.
Hey, Scotty. Knock on wood if you're with me.
Knock on wood if you're with me, because I'm with you, Joey. I'm with you.
Jose, who you got?
I'm going with the Chargers this week, you know. Definitely.
So you're not knocking on wood.
I'm not knocking on wood. That's why I kept my hand right there. I wasn't for sure knocking on that wood.
I'm gonna agree with Scotty. I'm going to go with the Raiders. Hector's going Raiders as well. Second game of the week now. We've got Giants at Jets. So a little battle of the bad New York team. Scotty, who you got coming out of this one?
I'm going to have to go with the Giants. I like the Jets, but I think the Giants are a lot cooler, and I think Saquon Barkley's going to have himself a little field day out there.
I also agree with Scotty on that. I think the Giants are going to take this one between the two bad New York teams, and Saquon Barkley's going to have a really big game, as usual.
Hector and I are also going to go with the Giants. So the third game coming up now, it's going to be Panthers at Packers, and this is a game where it could come out as a surprise, but it's... we'll see how it goes. Scotty, who you got?
Oh, man. Do you go with, for the record... Do you go with what your heart says, or do you go with a pride thing? Because the thing is,
Scott, you're on a downward trend. You're basically out of the first place right now.
We're going with the Carolina Panthers.
Big man.
We're going with the Carolina
Panthers.
Wow. Like,
That came out of nowhere. Wow.
That's bold. Jose, who you got?
I'm going to have to go with Aaron Rodgers, baby, and the Packers, you know?
It hurts my name to say it, but we're going to go with the Packers. Hector's going with the Packers as well. Our fourth game is going to be Seahawks at 49ers. I have not picked to this one yet, so it's gonna be spur of the moment. Scott, who you got for
it? Didn't get to do his research tonight. The Jimmy G effect, the 49ers. That's not even a discussion. Give me the 49ers.
I'm also going to agree with Scotty on that one. I'm taking the 49ers for this one. I think, you know, they've been playing pretty well lately. So
yeah, I was going to go with whoever Scott didn't pick, so I'm riding with the Seahawks. Hector's riding with the Seahawks as well. Next up, we got Vikings at Cowboys. Scott, who you got for this
one? You know what we're doing? We're eating. Ezekiel Elliott, baby. He's out there. He's going to be
riding down. We them boys.
We them boys.
We them boys.
We them boys, the Cowboys. We're going with the Cowboys.
And riding with America's team, baby, the Cowboys.
Our buddy Mitch, one of the DJs, you heard him on earlier today. He's a huge Cowboys fan. So this one goes out to you, Mitch. I'm going Cowboys. Hector's going Cowboys. Nobody's riding with Kirk on this one. And our final game.
The easiest game.
The easiest game. It's what we like to call the Steve Cease game, number one. We got Lions at Bears. Scotty, who you picking?
Listen, the Bears are 3-5. They're going to finish the season 10-6, and they're going to start by going 4-5 with this win over the Lions.
I think the Bears are going to come back, and I think they're finally going to, you know, take up and understand what they've been doing wrong, you know, and finally, you know, wake up. So I'm taking the Bears in this one.
It's Bears all day from over here. Me and Hector both going with the Bears. And that is going to wrap up the pick six, and it's going to wrap up our show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Jose, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a long time coming. We loved having you here.
Hey, you know what, man? I'd like to thank you guys for having me on. I've been waiting legitimately all year for this, and I'm just so happy I was able to.
No, it was great. I'm glad you brought some NBA talk, because we really haven't talked about that.
Yeah, they got to hear me and Scott get all of our NBA talk out, so that was really nice.
I mean, hey, just like we have it back in the newsroom.
Thank you so much to JC Hillsman for coming on as well. That interview was tons of fun. Thank you all for listening again. Our next show will be next week, same time, same place, 103.3 WZND. Scotty, thank you for running the board as always.
Of course. It's been a great show, Joey, and you did a great job hosting it.
Thank you. And shout out one last time to Hector Carrion. Hope you're doing well, buddy. We'll see you soon. For everybody here at the Red Zone, thanks for listening.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone, again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.